Hey everybody, it's Brad Williams and Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by White Cloud e-cigarettes.
We're not saying you should start smoking, but if you already do, awesome. And if you've ever wanted to try an e-cigarette, these are the ones to go with. White Cloud e-cigarettes offers over 20 flavors. That's almost as many as Baskin-Robbins. 20 flavors and 6 nicotine strengths. It's cheaper than other e-cigarettes that you'll see at convenience stores and with much more variety. White Cloud e-cigarettes sponsors comedians. They've been doing it for over 2 years now. They've also sponsored comedy festivals like the Boston Comedy Festival and the Orlando Indie Comedy Festival. If you've ever been curious about trying an e-cigarette, I have. Well, the Fling is the low-cost, no-commitment way to do so. And the Fling offers same-day UPS shipping on orders before 6 p.m. Eastern.
But is there a website?
Customers can go to WCESigs.com. That's WCESigs.com.
But we want to make sure our listeners get them for cheap. So is there a coupon code?
To get 25% off of the order, use the coupon code ALNPODCAST. That's ALNPODCAST at WCESigs.com to get your White Cloud e-cigarettes today. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
Hi ho!
Hey everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Special bonus episode today. Man, this is a real treat for me. This episode features one of my best buds in the whole world from Seattle, Washington. We met in 7th grade cartooning class and just became best buds. Countless Mariners games together. We, you know, started making home movies together, took over our high school news program in Seattle, Washington. It was a weekly morning news show, and we took it over our sophomore year and turned it into like a 15-minute sketch show. I was best man at his wedding, for Pete's sake, so that should definitely tell you how tight we are. I gave a weird speech now that I'm remembering it. I think I made some references to things that people didn't know about. You can't make inside jokes in wedding speeches. They just always fall flat. You know, you can be like, anyway, that was the time that we, I'll never go on a lake with a bag of Sun Chips again. And everyone's like, the fuck? What is that? Why not? That sounds like actually like a great move. Sun Chips are great, and so is the lake. Those two together seem like a perfect combo of fun. Our guest today is none other than my best bud and Seattle's own Kirk Huffman. Kirk Huffman is here on the podcast to talk about his new music. He's one of the most talented musicians that I know, which is great because, you know, sometimes everyone's, I'm sure, got a friend that's embarked on the music journey, and it doesn't always work out. And you still support them because they're your buds, but thank God Kirk has always been the shit. We get into his whole progression with music. I've seen it from the start, man. I mean, first of all, just hearing how he fell into the world of music and it becoming a passion of his is pretty fucking interesting. We get into all that, and then the progression of his bands, man. He went from ska to punk to one of my favorite bands that he's ever been in, called KK and his Weathered Underground. If you have a chance, go back, look them up, get their album on iTunes. They're the shit. Kind of the progression into the sound that he's currently working with, which is so dope. It's called The Real Dawn. That's the name of his group. There's a sax, there's some horns, there's fucking dope beats, which I couldn't sound any whiter saying that. But it's really one of the most original sounds I've heard in a while, and it's pretty cool that it's a friend of mine that's bringing that to the world. You can get The Real Dawn's music at realdawnmusic.com. Of course, iTunes has everything. His latest EP that he's here to promote is called the Dank Sinatra EP, and we're actually featuring one of the tracks, one of his singles, actually, at the end of the episode. So don't shut off the episode when it's over, because we're going to play a couple minutes of one of his songs called Emeralds and Angels, and it's just, again, so fucking dope. I feel like that's the appropriate word to describe it, even though it makes me sound really out of touch with reality. Follow Kirk on Twitter at TheRealDonMusic. And again, get the Dank Sinatra on iTunes. Go to realdonmusic.com. for any other information and tour dates, because he is on the road. And you got to see it live, because music is always better live. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. I, of course, will be in Scottsdale, Arizona, May 7th through the 9th at the Stand Up Scottsdale Comedy Club. May 7th through the 9th, Stand Up Scottsdale in Scottsdale, Arizona. Get your tickets at standupscottsdale.com. Really pumped to go out there. This is a great room. And Arizona is just a great great place for comedy. I'll be in Vancouver, B.C., May 21st through the 23rd at the Comedy Mix in downtown Vancouver. Can gotta say it Irish. There's nothing better. There's no better Coover than an Irish Coover. May 21st to the 23rd, Vancouver, the Comedy Mix. Come out and see me there. Get your tickets at comedymix.com. And then a few dates in June that are stacking up. June 12th and 13th, I'll be at Flappers Comedy Club in Claremont, California. And then back in Scottsdale, June 25th through the 28th at the new Laugh Factory in Scottsdale. And then I'm coming home, Parlor Live in July. There's a ways out, but Parlor Live in Bellevue, July 9th through the 11th. Hope you come out and see me there. Brad Williams, this weekend, Brad Williams is going to be at the Ice House in Pasadena. I wish I could join him, but I'm going to be doing some colleges with Adam Devine and reuniting for that. Which, by the way, that tour recap podcast is coming next week. We're going to record that tonight and post that next week. So Adam Devine and our buddy Kyle Walsh, who was our road manager and merch guy, we're going to sit down and recap the crazy month that we had on the road and basically share all the stories with you guys. So look out for that next week. But Brad will be at the Ice House in Pasadena April 24th and 25th. Two shows, 8:30 and 10:30. Get your tickets at icehousecomedy.com. And then May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, Brad will be in Cleveland, Ohio at the Improv. Cleveland, Ohio Improv. Go see Brad Williams. May 1st through the 3rd, get your tickets at improv.com. And of course, come on, astoymerchandise.com. The site is still up. Our merch is still there. Go get it. Go get mugs, t-shirts. Support the podcast with the merch. Wear our shirts at the shows. We'll sign the shirts for you. We'll take pictures with you. We really appreciate the support through Twitter and emails. But when you're wearing the merch, you're just taking up a notch and showing your true fandom of the ABLN podcast to the fullest level. So estoymerchandise.com for all your merch, E-S-T-O-Y merchandise.com. And of course, keep subscribing to the podcast on iTunes. Tell your friends, pass on a link, tell them about lastnightpodcast.com for all past episodes with Paul Feig, Lisa Kudrow, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Bobby Lee, Andrew Santino, Eric Griffin, Dana Carvey, Tony Danza. So many dope guests, so many great episodes, and we've got so many more coming up for you. And this coming Monday, we've got Peter Segal, who directed Tommy Boy, 51st Dates, The Nutty Professor, Anger Management, and some of these stories are just going to blow your mind. It really was one of the most fun interviews we've done in a long time, because we haven't had any directors on that have worked with some of the biggest comedy stars in the world. So that episode's coming out Monday. So make sure you are subscribed so you don't miss out on that episode airing on Monday. But for now, that's all the tour date info. Those are the Twitter handles. That's all the merch info. So now, ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and enjoy a very special bonus episode of the About Last Night podcast with my buddy, the one and only Kirk Huffman.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
All right. Some would say microwave chicken breast, no. It's not a good. Oh, did Adam just spill on himself?
No. I love this shirt.
Yeah, man.
Oh.
Is this gonna stain?
What'd you spill on it?
Berry Refresher Starbucks juice.
Well,
talks amongst yourself. I gotta go back and get a new shirt and see if I can save. This.
Go save Whitey. I assume that you nicknamed the shirt Whitey.
Fuck you.
I don't know. He just looks like the kind of guy where he's like, this will be Whitey. To my point.
Right.
To my point, Kirk Huffman, is that we are not really those manly men anymore because
Adam
spilled.
Can't cook, nor can he drink from an aluminum can.
Right. So. It's very difficult. the skills of the modern man have gone down tremendously.
Tremendously.
Now, do you have any, as I would call them, just like man skills, like 1950s Mad Men stuff that you can do? Can you hang a picture?
I can smoke the shit out of a cigarette. I can drink a glass of whiskey on the rocks. Like
good. Hardcore. That's a solid skill. So, okay, now if you're
I got those things now.
If you're on the side of the road,
right,
and flat tire, can you change your tire?
Ooh man, no. And that, I mean, having toured a ton, that would happen all the time, and I was always the guy that kind of bullshitted the way while the other guys did it,
okay,
or made myself look like I was useful with, and Adam Ray can't turn his cell phone off.
No, he has his presence known.
This is wild.
Yeah, he's like, guys, I'm kind of jealous of the interaction. He thinks that I'm bogarting his friend right now.
Right.
So okay, all right. Anyway, so you're the guy that stands there and watches the manly men.
Basically, yeah, just standing there, or I make myself look busy with a flashlight, or I hold the nuts and bolts for the guy who's actually doing the cranking. So,
hey man, I know you were down there under the car, but if I hadn't have held that monkey wrench for you, nope. I'm just saying monkey wrench, like I assume that's the tool.
Yeah, we.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was always the one that would pull out the tools from the back of the van and then immediately give them to the one or two dudes who knew what was going on.
Now, why do you think this is? Why do you think that we're like the generation of men that don't know this shit?
Is it
because our dads did it and we didn't?
Yeah, I think.
Do
I think,
it.
I think also too the expectations of dudes have, it's just kind of like it's been a dude's world. It's been as James Brown would say, it's been a dude's world, a man's world.
Pretty sure that was a lyric,
right? And hey,
I'm not,
oh,
sorry.
Did you throw some dish soap?
I threw water on it, and then I go, you know what? I'm wearing this shirt tonight. I really like this shirt, and I just got it, and it's got. And I'm even going to just explain to the audience. Look, I spilled some Barry Starbuck refresher juice on it. They'll go, what is that?
Can you try to say that with a straight face and like? Try to keep your dick intact while you're saying, I spilled some berry refresher Starbucks juice.
There are some items like that that just make you sound a little homosexual when you like at Millions of Milkshakes. That's a actual place of establishment business
down here.
Yeah, in West Hollywood.
Yeah,
called smokes. Millions of Milkshakes, and I can't say it without going Millions of Milkshakes.
Oh yeah.
How
yeah.
many? Hundreds.
I tried
millions.
I'm pretty sure that originally started with Jamba Juice.
You couldn't say Jamba Juice.
You couldn't get Jamba Juice.
Well, Jamba's a very fun,
right?
Jamba.
Effervescent, carefree
sure.
fruity juice title.
And if you're in the mall with all your buddies and you're there to get the new Jordans because they just came out, you can't be like, hey, man, before we hit up Champ Sports, you want to grab a Jamba Juice?
Jamba Juice?
Jamba Juice? Like, you can't.
What's the boost everybody would get, though?
Well, I mean, protein. Yeah.
God.
Protein powder.
Overcompensation.
You know, obviously.
Welcome back to Overcompensating Too Much with Brad Williams.
What are you talking about? I have a scoop of protein every day. That's it. I mean, yeah. I don't know about you. I put a scoop of protein in my vitamin water, in my orange juice.
Jesus.
Whatever, man.
That's how shitty of a wrestler Brad would have been. That would have been his, like, when he walked out and they're like, why are you going to win? Because I put a scoop of protein powder in my Jamba Juice. Like,
let me tell you something, brother. Before I hit the squared circle in Madison Square Garden, I get the Met RX and I pack it in. I put it through an air filter so it's going all throughout the air that I'm inhaling through these nostrils of power, brother.
Right.
That's why I'm going to take the belt back. So. Iron Sheik, I'm coming for you.
Yeah, and most of the times back in the 80s when that stuff was going on, it wasn't protein powder, it was cocaine.
Right,
so,
right.
Right.
Well, I mean, that was the code.
Right, right.
Obviously.
So,
you were never a big wrestling fan, were you?
Definitely like 7, 8, and 9. And then I was crushed when someone finally was like, oh, dude, it's fake. And I was like, no.
You actually tried to convince them otherwise.
Yeah, we had two neighbors, the Jackson family, and they had the buddies, you know, the wrestling buddies.
Wrestling buddies,
yeah.
Yes, which were basically pillows that were shaped like wrestlers, and they said on the box, like, do not try to perform wrestling moves on wrestling buddies. Fuck you, wrestling buddies.
Oh, yeah.
No one followed that rule.
And the Jackson family was rad, too, because they had a really nice living room, but they were totally okay with us going to town with the wrestling buddies, like off of furniture.
Every kid did that.
Oh yeah, it was amazing.
What was your go-to move? Every kid had a move, or you made one up. I didn't know anything about wrestling. Sorry, I'm eating some chicken.
Yeah.
it's not chicken a la Brad. Found only at Brad Williams'
apartment. Only at my apartment.
That wasn't
Can't
frozen
get that
in microwave?
Shit, Trader Joe's.
No.
Was it probably by the Thai restaurant that served it to us? Actually, I take that back. This is delicious. It's not the Thai restaurant, however, that we prank call.
No.
No.
That place, I can't say the name of.
Right.
They are great. I'll say that much.
Yep. They're delicious.
So they never figure it out that it's you guys?
No.
Because then they're doing something to the food at some point, right?
Oh, God. Well, I definitely didn't think about that until right now. Oh, God. Because I've ordered since those calls.
Right. I think, because you guys do that, I feel like. We've only done like three episodes.
Well, I mean,
calling the Thai place.
I wish it was. It's when people have great impressions, or somebody
or like Roy Wood. Roy Wood just had such really good at prank calling.
Yeah. Oh man,
that dude was solid.
Yeah,
that's totally like our era too. The
I was
prank
just
calling
say,
thing.
Yeah. That's one of the first things Kirk and I feel like
because
now it's
now it's so brutal and intense, like with the catfishing and the
right.
And like the things that the youth. Holy cow!
By the way, just you saying the words. The thing about the youth, while you have frosted tipped hair, it just kind of looks very strange. It just doesn't really fit.
Youth could be. Think
the thing about kids these days, they don't know that L'Oreal number 7 is a terrible hair dye.
Totally. But
you're right, though. They are the youth now.
Yeah.
And we are the elder statesmen to the youth.
And it seems just so vicious. I think you were talking about the Duke, fans, basketball fans.
Yeah.
And they go crazy on other players. And that's like a college, they have no idea.
It's college trolling.
Right, before callback or caller ID or any. Like, that stuff never existed when,
Star
we were
6ix9ine.
The youth. Yeah,
Star 6ix9ine, when that came about, that changed the game.
Game changer.
Yeah, then you couldn't reenact your favorite scene from the Scream movie.
Didn't they have a block, though? You could Star 6'7 before you Star 6'9?
Yeah, well, as soon as Star 6'9 came out, it was like when somebody came out with... it was like when Burger King or McDonald's came out with like the double quarter pounder, and then Burger King was like, "Yo, what about the fucking chicken French fries?"
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then McDonald's was like, "What?
Yeah, what?"
And Burger King's like, "Okay." And then McDonald's is like, "What about the triple quarter pounder?" And we're gonna have the McRib twice a month.
Yeah.
And the Burger King's like, "How about the
Western Whopper?
How
we
about
got the Western Whopper,
or
yeah.
the omelets bacon pancake sandwich?" And the McDonald's like, "We'll come to your house and jerk you out from the shower and say ba da ba ba ba. You're loving it."
Did you guys see that Burger King is doing like a ham sandwich now?
Yeah.
Which at this point,
Yumbo.
Right, like, and we're, yeah, the Yumbo.
What'd you call
the
me?
That's actually, hey man, you call me a fucking Yumbo. That just sounds like a bad term for Italian Americans.
Oh,
like,
totally.
Hey, he called me a fucking Yumbo. I'm going to his house.
Kill him, Vinny.
Yeah, off him, Vinny.
Dude, did it list how many calories? Because I know a lot of places now are putting the amount of calories next to the item.
No, but like we were talking about,
which is supposed to make anyone.
I don't ever look at the calories. I don't ever look at any
also,
of that stuff.
Also, that doesn't make anybody change their mind. Because you're already there.
You're already at Burger King. You don't think I'm going to order the Baconator? You don't think I'm going to do it?
You got in your car. You scrounged up change from in between the seat at your place. You got in your car or Segway, and you made your way down to McDonald's, and you looked and just seeing 924 calories for a fucking tiny chicken sandwich. And then you look at the picture right next to it and go, yeah, I'm doing it.
Yeah, because it looks delicious.
And in the case of the Yumbo, it's like
the case of the Yumbo.
I mean, is that a Lost Goosebumps novel?
R.L. Stein's The Case of the Yumbo.
Oh, man,
oh no, not the Yumbo.
Nancy Drew and the Hardy
but
Boys.
But that's got diabetes.
But in the case of the Yumbo, when you get down there and you decide to get the Yumbo, you have made the conscious decision to just not put ham, a piece of cheese,
lettuce
on white bread.
On bread.
You are asking someone at Burger King to do that.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the weirdest part about because we were just talking about like how men are kind of not stepping up now with the whole cooking thing. But I'm sorry. Like, I could get a thing of Hillshire Farm. Hillshire Farm, delicious deli meats that I wish would sponsor this podcast. I can take ham and lay it on bread. Hell, I'll toast the bread. That's how strong I come to the hoop.
Yeah, and you definitely don't see them doing that at Burger King, but yeah, I mean,
shots fired, Yumbo.
Right. When I cooked for a long time when we were doing the band stuff and we'd be home from tour, and there was one girl, and I was shocked. Every like 4 out of you know, the 5 weekdays, it was just one scrambled egg.
That's all she wanted?
That's all she wanted every morning.
Just one scrambled egg.
Which I get it, like maybe she's in a hurry. But if we're at the point where we can't make a homemade yumbo, and we can't make one scrambled egg,
see if someone if someone offered me a homemade yumbo, I'm like, I think that's on the menu of a rub and tug place. I don't really want to get the homemade yumbo.
Yeah, you're right though. It's like what, but maybe it's the same thing. I think when people were like, you can get any movie now from the comfort of your home. So maybe it's the idea of leaving the place, coming to the diner, seeing people, because maybe she's so isolated. Right. Maybe her whatever her life is, she just doesn't get around people. And she's like, you know, when I go get my egg, that's when I really connect with the world. Like, does she sit there quietly? What's her?
I'm sure she writes that on her blog.
Well, it was always to go.
Huh. So, even weirder.
Even stranger, yeah. Right?
Like, yeah. One scrambled egg.
Because I guess that defeats my whole, like, well, she was probably in a hurry thing. So,
Yeah. It's always to go.
I understood that.
Now, I've experienced this on tour, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on it, because Adam's obviously a touring comic, and you, sir, are touring with the band The Real Don. The Real Don is your band.
Thank you.
So, awesome. When you're on tour, like, because if I'm in a hotel room for, like, 2 or 3 days, even if I don't have a reason to leave the hotel room, I leave the hotel room just to walk around. Just
for sure.
Fuck this. I have to get out. I have to walk around. I have to see something. Even if it's just going to Burger King to get a Yumbo.
Oh, totally.
That's about it.
And yeah.
But in the case of a band, you guys usually crash at people, you know, in different cities or no? Hotels, too?
It really depends. One, if you have friends, it's just kind of more fun to have like a place that feels like a home.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, then, and then a lot of times, too, like... I noticed when you guys do a lot of touring, it's like when you were on the Adam Devine days, it's like you're flying everywhere. Like, and you know, for us, it was like your routing was crazy. Like, you tell that routing to like dudes in a band, and they're like, "Who's your booking agent?"
Yeah.
I think you should talk to maybe someone else, because that
went
seems
from,
crazy.
From Nashville to Jersey, back to Nashville,
right?
But, and what sucks about all that is that like when you want to, you know, plan a tour like that, it's like what's available, like what venues are available, and then what's on what days, and you and you hope that your act is popular enough that where sometimes they will, you know, be accommodating, but chances are it's like they've, that shit is so, I can't imagine the scheduling of a theater, like, because they're probably getting hit up with a lot of requests.
Yeah.
And you have to, and maybe if they have a dry spell, they're like, oh, we don't know if somebody like Adam Devine or America or Lily Tomlin or Sinbad are going to come through. So, you know what, yeah, let's get that, you know, fucking Tears for Fears cover band. Because we don't have much on the calendar now. And then all of a sudden, fucking Sinbad's calling, and Carrot Top's calling, and fucking, you know, the Ted Danson Trio's calling.
Well, obviously, the Ted Danson Trio.
Right.
But, and it's that thing where fans, that I'm sure they hit you up too, and they say, hey, come do a show in, you know, Portland. You're like, I would love to.
Oh, totally. We get this a lot from colleges, because they just assume, well, you guys know, like, those college shows are awesome just in terms of how they, you know, treat you and take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
But they just assume, like,
the youth.
Have
the youth
those
treat
youth,
us.
God, those youth, they just, you know, definitely, because they're so young, they're just naive and stuff. It's just like, you fuckers, like, you know.
You know what it is, though? What is the real thing that makes us connect with the youth, quote unquote, for the college kids? You know what it is for me? Weed.
Oh, of course. Of course.
That's what immediately just goes, the age is out the window.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like that's like,
which
like
is another
universal.
Lost Goosebumps book.
Yeah. The age is out the window.
Actually, maybe it sounds like an Agatha Christie.
Yeah,
novel.
Maybe an Agatha Christie. Maybe a special on Dateline NBC.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or a Salinger Lost novel.
Nice.
Hi, I'm Chris Hansen. Now, what did you mean when you wrote to the 12-year-old girl, the age is out the window?
Look, in my defense, I didn't think she was
12. I was 12. A grown man writing about a 12-year-old girl's experience.
Learning about her body. And in my defense, I just want to say the woman's anatomy is a beautiful thing. Whether you're 10, whether you're 25, whether you're 225.
Is that why you wrote?
A grown man. I can say that. You know?
Is that why you wrote, that's why I want to see what you look like from the inside?
Yes, exactly. That is, if you want to know, yes, it is.
That was the follow up.
Yeah, boy, it was. Those were the best moments in that show when they'd go, when they literally lie to a T, like straight up, like immediately as soon as like they would literally hear the girl go, "I'm in here," and they'd walk into that room, and then as soon as it came out, they'd go, No, I don't know. I'm not here. What? They just start saying stuff like, no, I'm not here. Like, hoping they would actually just convince their brain that they're not there and they'll wake up in some fucking, you know, comforter.
Yeah. And those were the worst. That's...
But then he'd go, when they would stay, he'd go, what are you doing here? And they'd just go, I was just came in to get some tea. Like, you just like, because, and then he starts pouring the tea because it's right there.
Yeah.
And then he goes, really? So you weren't coming to meet this girl who just screamed for you to come into the bathroom or the kitchen? And he's like, who just screamed?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you who screamed. The girl who you wrote, I would like to take your twat and floss with it and then eat your butt cheeks like a bowl of spaghetti bolognese. Okay, well... Here's the thing.
What I was doing is I was trying to warn her against the trials of going online and meeting men. I was going to come here. That's why I brought the beer, so we can sit down and have a real, you know, adult conversation. And
show her how a condom works.
Do they okay, so obviously they're caught trying to fuck a young girl.
Person, yeah,
but,
girl, guy, whatever.
Yeah, but... Do they have to sign a waiver? Because once they get there, they can easily just say, like, oh, yeah, I fucked up.
Yeah.
Take me to jail, but please don't put this on TV. Because it must be a thing where...
It's not like Punk'd, where you get...
Where they're like, or immediately their rights are revoked, and there's like,
I think it
you're
is.
Going to jail, and we're going to put this on TV, for sure.
Yeah, you're right, because I guess it's like, hey, it's bad enough I'm getting arrested. Please don't humiliate me.
Please don't put this... Yeah. I might get out.
I didn't do anything. It's the intent you're getting me with. So maybe I can assimilate back into society, but they're like... Well, you can, but everyone's going to know what you look like.
Oh, God. But if they're already to the point of, like, sending those awful, you know, messages and stuff to those girls.
I think the cops don't care. I love how we're taking the side of the fucking potential pervert.
We should hide their identity.
They ain't that bad a guy.
No, they'd probably...
I played ball with one.
What? They got to be such sociopaths, though, that it's like, hey, you know, throw me on that tube.
Yeah.
This is my moment.
Yeah, I think try to break down the sanity of a pedophile. You're not gonna exactly.
It could be it could be their 15 minutes of fame for some of them.
New podcast idea.
Okay.
YouTube breaking down psychopathic children molesters' brains.
Mm.
Wow.
I think that could be like a serial thing. Like remember the serial podcast took off.
Great word choice.
Oh yeah, true. But yeah, I don't know. It's funny. I'm addicted to those shows, man. Whenever they do it, just because, like, it's always interesting to look at someone and go like, wow, that's evil does exist. Wow.
I come home to my wife. She watches this Snap.
You know,
show.
I have a joke about this.
Yeah, which is wild because
what's Snap? I don't know what the show is.
It's a show dedicated to profiling women. Who go batshit crazy
and murder
their significant others?
Right.
Why is your wife watching it?
Yes, she watches it when I go. Bitches go batshit crazy, but it's Oxygen, which in my bit is what I say. That's why these guys are getting killed. Because it's on Oxygen. We're not watching that. Put it on programming that we're investing time in. Put it in between highlights on SportsCenter. Put it on Pornhub.com. Yeah. Then we'll know that these women are out there. But we don't.
No, there needs to be a warning.
And they're wild, like.
And they kill in clever ways.
So I was like, I tried to save us a little money, so I got the manager's special 2 gallon of milk. What are you doing? Oh, watching Snap. Excuse me.
Yeah, by herself.
Yeah, by herself. I mean, she's quick to change the channel when I get back.
With a notepad next to the TV. You're like, why is the notepad there?
Yeah. It's like sharpen knife. Yeah,
just making a checklist.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, honey, I'm gonna go to the kitchen and dull all the knives.
Can I be honest? Those types of shows make me very uneasy and make me very comfortable with the fact that. I'm not in a relationship.
Yeah.
Not even married. And it's like I said last night, I go, jerking off is saving my life right now. Because, and here's the thing.
That's the title of your memoir.
that's Salinger's fourth missing novel.
Wow, see, I do a juvenile joke, and you go,
that's Salinger's fourth novel. Also referenced in the Canterbury Tales by Chaucer.
By Chaucer? Is that a real author? Yeah, Chaucer's Canterbury Tales.
I don't know, man.
You don't know?
Canterbury cream, the eggs for Easter. Let me just say the voice you also were doing, and it's a perfect segue, how Kirk and I met in seventh grade cartooning class, and the voice you
that
were
That was
doing,
a thing?
The voice.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't do, like, any of that. I mean, lots of the
They
arts.
Have a cartooning class?
We had an awesome cartooning class. Yeah.
I took woodshop.
And,
so
oh, yeah.
Fucking
yeah.
sucked.
Yeah.
I messed up, like, the only way that make? Bird was going into my birdhouse is if he had, like, severe scoliosis. Like, that's the only, yeah, exactly. Like, the bird had, like, twerk like Miley Cyrus, yeah. and then it would get inside the birdhouse.
Kirk,
it was fucked up.
Our listeners couldn't see Kirk just trying to do a bird with scoliosis, trying to enter a birdhouse, and it was very delightful.
I believed it.
You committed. How? So your entryway was just shitty?
Oh, it was, I mean, yeah, in my birdhouse, and my sexual life, always. Just,
yikes.
Entryway is shitty.
I laughed because you said your entryway is shitty.
It's like actually it's an exit. I don't know if you want to call it an entryway.
Our teacher, though, his name was Mr. Schultz.
Right.
Rest in peace.
Which was great because Charles Schultz, the actual
cartoon, the voice of all the
Peanuts.
Looney Tunes. Oh, Peanuts.
Peanuts.
Looney Tunes.
Are we on the same? Yeah.
The voice of the Looney Tunes was
Mel Blanc.
Yep,
yeah.
You got
yeah,
it.
Okay. Yeah.
So he taught, and he sounded like this, and his name was Mr. Schultz. Oh, and
Adam could do a, like,
it was when
killer impression.
It was when I realized I could start doing impressions. Well, actually, that's not true. As we've talked about, it was in the fifth grade when I impersonated Annie Bernhard to call my friend Evan to say, sit by me at the lunch table, and you're so sweet. And, like, I tried to basically, like, start a romance with them because I was fat, and she didn't like me. She liked Evan, who was skinny and in shape. And I was like, fuck you, bitch. Okay. And then, she's the best, and she's very sweet. And,
see, that's like a.
But
that's
at the
like
time,
a,
I was like, fuck you, bitch.
Right, that's pre catfishing. This yeah. is like before you yeah. did it without without a use of Facebook
yeah.
or anything. It's
yeah,
good.
So
in
I
fifth
call,
grade.
Yeah, yeah, and prank and pretend and talk for sometimes upwards of 45 minutes to him as her.
How did you not
I don't know.
Break?
I don't know how I didn't ever like
say. 5 year old you had a really dark inside.
Yeah, for sure. No, this is fifth grade.
Fifth grade. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. You're, Jesus.
Yeah, 10. Yeah. No, if it was 5, I could. Yes, yeah. So, my which best friend, she didn't like me, so I prank. Yeah. At five. God.
Which episode of Thundercats turned you into this monster?
So, she would come sit by him. He would come sit by her at lunch and whatever. I was helping. I didn't do anything malicious. Looking back, I should have been like, come to recess, and when I'm playing kickball, just run out into the outfield and start massaging my tits. Like, I should have said shit like that. You know,
shit.
Get him into some trouble. But
right.
It was all fun and
the phone call told me to do it.
Yeah, yeah. So then, anyway, so I would call the office as Mr. Schultz in seventh grade and mm-hmm. ask for, like, you know, we're out of purple construction paper. We need 5,000 sheets of them. Like, Mr. Schultz, that's way too much construction paper.
Yeah.
We don't. What do you need all that for? I was like, I'm trying to teach them how to draw perspective on purple. It's more fun. And they're like, what? Okay.
We're making a life-size grimace.
And he was so confused when the shit would show up. He was just like,
it was when he'd step out of the room for 10
look,
minutes.
Yeah. Hold it in his hand. He'd look at it slowly.
Well, the kid would come in. The kid who dropped off, like, who delivered stuff for classrooms would show up with all this paper. Then he's just like, what? What is that for?
Yeah, and he'd look at,
like,
he'd
you
look
ordered
at the
it?
Paper. He'd look at the shelf full, and they'd be like, you ordered it. And he was so – the other thing, too, I don't know if you remember, but he died halfway through the class. And I remember when we
Wait,
came
– literally?
Yeah. Not like in front of us. That
okay.
That would have been like, hey, do you remember
yeah,
when
I was
the
like,
teacher
how did I not
died?
Remember that?
Yeah. Jesus. But I just remember coming to class, and there was a substitute, and, you know, we assumed there was a substitute. And then he was just like, hey, I just want to let you guys know Mr. Schultz isn't doing too well. And probably won't make it, you know,
yeah.
through. And that was just
it. Just dropping it on us.
He was gone.
Wait, so the substitute was just like, hey, you know, that that person that you see every day.
He's probably not
going to
make it through the night.
Probably never going to see him again.
And then immediately was like, okay, we need your comic strips. I've got all these notes of things. I mean, it was really quick. Yeah, it was really, really quick.
That's not right.
And the other thing he used to do with his voice is you would, you know, when he would sit, he was old. He was so old, man. This guy was so old.
So it wasn't exactly a shock.
Right, and he would just, like, boom, he'd deliver, you know, whatever he had to deliver for us to do, and then just sat at his desk and let us go to town. But Adam would throw his voice all over the room, you know, trying to talk to people. And that was a trip, too. That was also the class that I was like, hey, I think we've played baseball together or whatever.
Yeah.
And my name's Kirk, and you're like, oh, I'm Adam. And I'm like, cool, what do you like to do? And you're like, well, I think I'm going to be a stand-up comedian and, like, maybe be in movies or something when I get older. And I was just like,
This fucking asshole.
Yeah, you're thinking like, yes, and I'm going to be an astronaut that constructs his own Megazord and becomes a Power Ranger.
Right.
Shut up.
I think, you know, it was that, and then, or, you know, maybe it'd be cool to be a puppeteer. You were heavy.
Yep. Still do.
Right, right.
And then that's when we started making, so we started hanging out, to give you a little backstory, because both of, I think, what we... when you're in Seattle, and that's why there's so many great basketball players that come out of Seattle, because when it rains a lot, you got to find other ways to pass the time. And in seventh grade, we weren't doing drugs. and so we were looking for other...
We were so lame.
Yeah, we'd make a lot of home movies, you know?
Okay.
Like, to try to make ourselves laugh and pass the time. And so Kirk and I and another buddy of ours, Luke...
do you want to make home movies with me?
Yeah. Yeah. They were really off. Like, well, it started as music videos,
Music videos, where we would basically lip sync to songs and just make a shitty music video for it. So Kirk had a drum set in his garage, and we would do, like, Spiderweb, No Doubt. I'd be on the drum, miming the drum. Kirk would be on guitar because he played and drums. And Luke... tied his shirt up like Gwen Stefani, put on a blonde wig, and then lip-synced to Spiderweb. All in one shot. We don't have a cameraman.
Yeah,
we just set the camera up once.
Yeah, and you can't do like cuts or anything
like
that.
And Adam lip-synced to Montel Jordan's
This is how we do.
And you did the whole thing, and you were just standing in front of my garage door, and I was just like, this is just like the fucking video, man. This is so good. This is so good.
That's what's great about it. It's like you get delusional and you're just like, we're making this. How do we send this to MTV?
Yeah. Right.
It's like, are you fucking kidding? Like,
Carson Daly's got to see this.
Fuck yeah. I'm skipping third period and hanging out in the AV room. We're editing this masterpiece. Yeah, yeah.
And then we at one point made a Christmas one where it was oh my God. It was like a Santa, some sort of Santa Christmas special, and at one point we had Santa addressing all of his helpers, which were just Ninja Turtles, He-Man, trolls, and we
how dare you speak of my people this way, you son of a bitch,
and we lined them all up and had my head pop up on a table and as to address all of them, like the town hall meeting, and
elves.
At one point I'm like, elves, I go, Santa's been... Oh, I'm the head of. It's like, Santa's been captured. I'm like, we need all the help in the world. We're going to need you, Donatello, and you, She-Ra, and you, Fred Flintstone, and you, Troll. And then when I look over, I go, Troll? And we have somebody turn him around, and on his butt, we had put a bunch of Cool Whip, and we had one of the He-Man villains standing behind him.
Why?
Like I said, we were so lame.
What was...
I don't know what that exactly meant.
Isn't it amazing what men can accomplish before they discover tits?
And honestly, like, looking back on it, like, we probably assumed, like, it's really, the whipped cream's probably really realistic. We, like, you know, no idea how any
I thought
of this
it was
shit
the funniest
worked.
Shit ever. Yeah, I was laughing so hard when we played it back.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do it for. So then we get to high school. And just to give you a background of where, you know, my video curiosity, just doing sketches and stuff, which, you know, later, you know, doing it for Funny or Die, just creating, even just when YouTube hit, starting to go, oh, I'm going to start doing this, wouldn't have happened if in high school, when we get there, they had our freshman year, right? We get in there and they figured out, like, oh, like just simple video editing and shooting, and they're like, oh, there's TVs in every classroom. Maybe we should have some sort of like morning news show, right? Uh-huh. And this is 1998. So they have these seniors who, you know, all great people, but none of them are like comedians or maybe funny in their own ways, but not funny enough to a whole school of people to be. It's not what they're doing, you know?
Yeah. If you can imagine like how bad like nightly local news is.
Yeah,
like,
it was bad.
It was bad. That, like, but times.
But they
10,
laugh at themselves like, because they're like, I can't, like, and that was the other thing. It's like they would laugh and you're like, well, I don't even, you laughing at a joke that I don't even see yet. Like,
yeah.
Something, you're just laughing because you think it's so funny that you are doing this.
Right.
But it have sports, weather, and news, and it was awful. So, but we're like, this is to, broadcast to the whole school. So our next year we take it over and we start, like, incorporating some puppets and some sketches. We do it our junior year, and then senior year, by that time, it's basically a 15-minute sketch show that, like, aired every Friday morning.
Right.
And, like, half the teachers were like, yo, we're not going to play this. It's 15 minutes
of an hour class.
I have a test that they're trying to
take. Yeah, exactly.
And the further we kept doing it, we just tried to push it more and more and more because it became, you know, like, they want – they you know, they kept giving us news feeds to like to send off, and we just wanted to make
these, well, like announcements. They're like, hey, there's a science club meeting that you have to say next Thursday at 9.
Right, or there was you know, like Deca selling coffee now, you know, and they have these these coffees. So we would do a whole commercial about coffee, but Adam would slip all these like sexual innuendos into the like how you drank the coffee, which at the time I don't know how any of the teachers never ever picked up on
that. I wish I had that
stuff,
shit on YouTube, and I'm going to have to put it on so we could have pulled it up. But it was coffee called Tor Fazioni, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to go, no, Deca. I did this voiceover for it. We shot a really nice commercial for the coffee. And I go, now Deca's introducing Tor Fazioni coffee. Yeah, you can go down and get it. And it had real sweet classical music. I'm like, we've got all sorts of flavors. Vanilla,
nice, like,
hazelnut,
handheld shots of
caramel, yeah, and chocolate. And then it was like, always like, and Kirk was the actor, like filling it up and like smelling it. And I was like, you can get any sort of coffee with whipped cream, something nice, hot, and creamy to go down your throat. Like I was like,
and the teacher's like,
that sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, because you know the VO was great.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, obviously, and
some
look how well it served you.
Yeah, and like Adam was saying, some of the teachers just at one point would just shut the shit off because it was just like,
yeah. Like we had a sketch where we tried to do for a football game. We made this whole sketch about how I was a goofy new football coach, and I was like, I took over the team and I was running these ridiculous drills, and one of our coaches goes, hey, you can't air that sketch. That's because we had to like preview it on Thursday to the ASB head who was like running the class we did it through. And she's like, you can't show that sketch. That's the people are going to think that we have a new coach. I go, you see that giant goofy mustache and the wig I had that fell off halfway through the sketch?
Right.
And I was wearing a flannel and I had this voice and I had a big voice like this. And I was like, I'm the new coach of the Thor Christ God.
And by the way, this isn't like the one Friday that you just decided to do it. You were doing these every week.
We've been doing this for a while.
So she wouldn't let us air because she was like, you're going to confuse people and they're going to think we have a new coach. And then what's going to happen? I go, well, then we tell them that we don't, that it's not true, that we don't have any.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
What's going to happen? Well, but no one's going to have that thought, you idiots. Yeah. Like, are you?
Someone with this logic is in charge of the youth, by the way. So,
well, it's funny because now I hear stuff like that and to me, and Adam, you'll back me up on this, like, that makes as much sense as the notes that some network executives give. it really does.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
Like, if you've ever heard some of these notes, it's just insane. One time on Mind Dementia, we did a sketch where I was dressed as an Oompa Loompa that was pissed off because Tim Burton didn't use the original Oompa Loompas when he did the remake.
Right.
And he had that one guy. Two. Yeah, so we were all pissed off. So we're like, hey, that's our fucking job, asshole. So
we
came out, me and three other dwarves, and we did this synchronized dance. And then at the end, we did like a humping motion, like an air hump. And there was a meeting, no joke, where they were trying to determine how many humps is appropriate.
Oh, yeah.
And they settled on two. They're like, three humps by three dwarves in Oompa Loompa makeup, that's obscene.
Yeah.
But and like they were arguing, like, I don't know. I think, well, because one hump doesn't really drive the joke home. Two doesn't really do it. So I think we should do three. And then one person would yell out, like, no, three humps is obviously going to corrupt the youth. It's going to corrupt the youth. They're going to see that. They're going to go, there's going to be anarchy in the streets if they see dwarves do three humps. And that's literally what you see. It's fucking nuts. So to hear a teacher just be like, yes, a student that goes to our school that everyone knows.
Yeah.
You put on a funny mustache, and it's like she's the bitch that got fooled by Clark Kent when he put on the glasses and then took them off. Like, where'd Superman go?
Oh, totally. And that that's one of the
great. Yeah. I'm getting way too upset about this.
You really are, man. At some point, I'm gonna have to fucking spray you with a fucking
not the spray
T-shirt
dude.
Gun
not,
or a
not
or
not
what's
not
that
the spray
bottle that
Windex? I don't know.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Yeah, sure, Windex.
Yeah.
We all know it's a natural dwarf repellent. Everyone knows that. I'm pretty sure.
Natural dwarf repellent is Windex.
I'm pretty sure Martha Stewart had that like a whole episode.
Hi, I'm Martha Stewart. This holiday season, has your house been polluted with dwarves? Unsightly, unsolicited, unwanted, uninvited dwarves? Well, don't reach for that bat or that blowtorch. Unless you don't have Windex, then reach for that bat and blowtorch. Anyway, that's it. Next week, I'm going to teach you how to make a fresh noodle casserole
with no dwarves.
No dwarves.
Everything's just no dwarves. It's like, well, obviously. Yeah. Now you're just getting crazy, because what casserole comes with dwarves?
When you were making these videos, were you always playing music? Was this something that was always part of your life, or did that sort of come later?
Yeah, because when we met, you were, that's the first thing also too that I, sorry to interrupt, but that I was like, oh man, this is dope, because now I have I hadn't had any friends at that point that were actual music, like you've been playing guitar for like 6-7 years, and enough to where you were like when you could play like every real Big Fish song on guitar, I was like, what the fuck? You're my age, man!
This is the greatest musician alive!
Yep. Yeah. My parents were really, my mom studied, theater and opera and stuff in, junior college. And, so I remember her being in like, Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat and seeing that at like 4 or 5. And that was like, I still think about that. Like,
cool.
It's a really early memory. Like, I don't remember much.
You could see your mom on stage.
Yeah. But I remember everything being Technicolor and then it's the part where they find like a goat in the desert, and I remember that they pushed a goat out and it had wheels. You know, it's just like a fake.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know that part.
Hilarious
to
me.
Yeah, it's got the bones on it and stuff.
The wheels.
Yeah.
It's a fucking goat with wheels. Fucking four. Yeah. This is crazy.
It's a goat with wheels. My whole life has changed. Yeah.
And so then at 8, you know, they like, you know, my folks were like, hey, in the next year you got to pick like an instrument to like, you know, learn. And my mom had played guitar and piano and stuff.
That's so cool that they did that.
Right. And then my approach was just like, well, I don't want to fucking play the piano or any of those. So at eight or nine, I was basically just like, well, I want to play the drums. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure for my folks, I was like, oh fuck, that's not what we fucking want. but they were really cool about it and got me lessons. And then you know, I can still remember being like 9 or 10, and I didn't have a drum set yet. But my dad, you know, we were like remodeling our house or a section of the house, and so I had paint buckets and pans. And
that's so rad. That's so like
you were training to become a street performer on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Hey man.
Yeah.
Hey man, you want to buy my CD?
Yeah, I'm sure my dad was like, oh,
that's a Chinese guy,
I'm
by the way.
So glad that I'm, you know, I just opened that trust fund for Kirk he can be a fucking street performer. Yeah, this is great. This is exactly what I wanted.
That's got to be, I mean, your parents are so cool and supportive. So, there's parents out there that I'm sure that when the son goes, I want to drum, A, you're just immediately like, oh, all that racket.
Right.
And then also like
cost of drums and lessons.
And are you really going to stick with it like they probably want? Or like,
totally.
But you must have had signs of just like, also you were.
Yeah, I mean, I still, even to this day, I don't know what, I'm not fucking good at anything else. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. Like,
so early on, you're like, music is it, in some regard.
Yeah, it definitely in terms of like, oh man, like, I can remember my drum teacher telling me like, hey, you know what, like, you know, at 13, like, hey, you're picking this up, like, you're going to, like, you can play the, like, you're. You can play the drums well for a 13-year-old. Like, don't
you can't teach music having rhythm, right?
And I definitely think my drum teacher was really cool.
A white guy just said that, by the way.
Let's acknowledge.
You can't teach rhythm. It comes from your soul.
Yeah, but you know what, man? If you would watch the way I dance to the song "Treasure" by Bruno Mars, you too would say, "Well, you really can't teach rhythm, because that man is born with magic legs."
Yeah, man. Fuck.
Yeah.
I saw your New Year's dance, so I know what's going on.
What was this?
My New Year's dance.
What was your? Oh, the video. No, what was New Year's dance?
Yeah, when I was in Vegas.
That's right.
It was all legs. It was two any legs. Yeah, that's what I am.
In a small circle.
Yeah, I'm all chicken legs. Yeah,
that's your go-to.
Have you seen that video of me in New York? It's on my Instagram. Look it up at AdamRay33. When I was in New York, and it was during the holidays, and I'm walking by, and a guy's a Jewish man, a very Orthodox Jewish man, is trying to give away free menorahs to Jews just for Hanukkah. He's just on the street being like, "You a Jew? Light the candles. Can you?"
Nice.
I'm like, "I want to light the candles, but I am lacking menorah." And he's like, "Here you go. I'm a Jew." And so, and he's got he's just Jewed out, and he's blasting on a little boombox.
That's the name of his store. "Here you go. I'm a Jew." I think that's located right next to the Jamba Juice. Is "Here you go, I'm a Jew."
Yeah. With a Hebrew boost. And so he goes, so he has it on a boombox, an electronica Hanukkah song, like the "Put on your yarmulke," but techno. It's like boom, 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 boom. Dude, just look it up. So I walk by and I go, "Dance with me." And so he's standing next to me, and like I went fucking dude, it got the most likes out of anything on my Instagram ever. Like, well, just fucking.
Yeah. You have pictures of midgets on your Instagram. Yeah. That shows you how good this dance was.
Half the amount of likes. I've got a picture of me holding a dwarf and a baby Bjorn, and it's got a quarter of the likes.
You do.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
But, okay, so they were like, all right, this is definitely something.
Yeah, definitely my drum teacher at one point, like, you know, I don't know if you guys ever saw this with, like, someone you guys did drama with or anything like that, but at one point my drum teacher was just like, you know what, why don't you just bring some CDs in and let's jam? Because he could tell that I was getting, like, a little restless with, with, like, reading music and doing, like, you know, taking lessons and stuff.
Yep.
So, when I had the encouragement of him just, like, telling, like, being like, hey, you do this well, and then being like, hey, let's jam together, that was like a big, like, oh, like, you know, and we were doing, like, you know, Green Day Dookie covers and stuff.
Those were, you know what's so great is, like, that's what we were being influenced by.
For sure. Green Day Dookie taught me how to play guitar.
Like, Brad?
Trey Cool.
Yeah, man.
Like, you're not going to find it, by the way. Don't worry.
Oh, not? Yeah. Okay. I do have Green Day. I do have a lot of Green Day.
We were just talking about Green Day last night because we were saying, and this is a great thing to talk about, how it's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you have the time of your life was the anthem for every senior high school slideshow assembly with cross dissolves.
Right.
What's happening at that
assembly?
And
as soon as they hit that first, it's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. Look, man.
A group of girls.
You had the time of your life.
Yeah, it's what.
Fucking tears.
Dude,
just. Yeah, you start that shit and tears just.
Yeah.
I remember my prom.
Pictures. Yes. and pictures. And it's just, here's a shot of four girls on a cabin on a lake holding shots. And the girls go. And just start breaking out and go, oh, I'm going to miss you guys. So who knows if we'll ever be back on a lake with shots, you know? And then it's just like. And then, you know, we said, what is the... And then it's more girls, like, holding up cheerleading sticks.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or at the football game with hot cocoa. And I'm like, who knows if I'll ever be back at a football game with cocoa. And then we were like...
Three dudes choking back tears, though. There were always three dudes. Yeah. And they were always the ones that were like, man, I'm going to miss you. And they're like, I'm going to see you for the next fucking, like...
We got 4 months of summer.
Yeah.
We're going to junior college together.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking see you all the time.
And then it was also... and then it was like, what... is this really the time of our life? It's like, we're all 18. We just became legal to look at porn and buy cigarettes. We're not peaking yet.
Right.
Yeah. Like, next year in college, who knows what could happen?
We could have sex.
Right.
Could happen.
Right. And if this is fucking it, all of us that are 18, let's go to the gun store. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, let's get some guns. Like, you know, we're in the high school gymnasium with this shit.
I remember having that thought of just like, everyone telling me like, hey, these are the best years of your lives. You're like, fuck, I hope not.
Yeah, I mean, for real, because I like high school was just, this is so fucking funny to say while there's fucking talking.
High school, man.
I was just like, you know, a lot of it was just like trying to find myself. And I felt like, you know, here I am. Like, and I'm so, you know, I'm pulled in all these different directions. And it's just like something where, you know, I could go left, I could go right, I could go straight. And maybe sometimes that straight pathway, maybe it bobs and weaves a little bit. But you know what? However it goes, man, I'm going to navigate that fucking shit, man. I'm going to navigate that shit to the best of my ability. It's just like, no, yeah. Yeah, I was like...
Keep it playing for a minute.
Oh, like. every few weeks, I was like trying to fucking do something. Like, you know, it was like whatever the new fad was. It was just like, oh, there it is. Niagara Falls.
Yeah,
I'm gonna miss you guys.
Yeah. And then right there was a shot of all of us in front of like the school.
Yeah.
You know, hands up in the air.
We did it! Congratulations, class of 2001. Yeah,
and somebody gets up and goes, "You guys did it." To the next step, you know. Which, by the way,
to the next step, was that the toast from American Pie?
Don't act like you.
I think
don't
it was.
Know that's what the toast
was.
It was. Which is so great too, because I love doing that. By the way, whenever I just feel like I'm at a loss for words in a social circle, I just hold my glass up and go to the next step.
To the next step,
and somebody or everyone usually always joins in and laughs, and then I go, "All right, I'm gonna go to the bathroom," and I just don't come back.
And then you fuck a pie.
Well, here's what's great about that. In that, also about American Pie for the high school movie, it was like. like, you showed for the first time having sex for all four guys. And basically, I think we were just about to be in high school. So we're like, oh, this is what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
So now you're trying to figure out in your group
exactly.
of friends, all right, which one of us is going to try to fuck somebody's mom? Which one of us is going to try to fuck a girl who studied abroad in high school?
We all knew who was going to try to fuck somebody's
yeah,
mom.
Yeah.
We all had that
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
We all had that one guy.
Yeah. Travis, if you're listening. One of us was going to fuck an edible pastry, and one of us was going to fuck... somebody didn't fuck anybody, right?
No, okay. So, and then someone just fucked the high school sweetheart.
Rookie of the year did.
Yeah. Right. Go Thomasine Nichols.
Nicholas.
Was that it? Yeah.
It's Thomasine Nichols.
I was definitely the pie fucker. I was definitely the friend where everyone was like, Brad's going to fuck a pastry.
All right. Please go on.
Brad's definitely going to fuck a pastry. He's not fucking his pillow already.
Hey, mattress. Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, I lay my head on my pillow. That's disgusting. Fucking mattress like a gentleman.
All right, so before we get to promoting The Real Don's newest album, I want to talk about your musical progression because, hey, Seattle is considered the mecca of tunes. And you've been, how many bands? What I wrote down was 7th grade was Scam.
My first band was the ska band.
Yeah, ska. See, I don't know anybody else who has successfully transitioned with the changing of music
right.
and found their own sound throughout, and it's fucking unbelievable.
I was in a ska band. I was in a Spice Girls cover band.
Obviously, ska was really cool.
This was 1995.
Still is. How dare you, sir? Still jam out to the Boston's.
That was like the junior high band. When I was a senior year, I was in a band called K-6, which is really obscure.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, you know, we were just. I mean, when you're a kid, you're just trying. I mean, maybe it's the same way for you guys when you're first starting out doing comedy. But like,
you're emulating who you
you're
like.
Straight up. Like, you know, there's no fucking around. Like,
you loved and introduced me to Real Big Fish,
and that was
Goldfinger.
Right, and it was
MXPX.
Just like PX, and it's just like let's just mimic that shit because I don't.
So a lot of like I'm hanging out in my parents' basement trying to figure out what to do. It's cold outside, and I hope it gets nicer. But I hope that I can hang out too.
Yeah, and every fucking song is about a chick, like some chick down the street that like
it's all like
nowadays is not worth. A damn or anything.
For me, that band, the essential band that sounds exactly like that is the band A Simple Plan. That band.
I'd do anything just to fall asleep with you. Oh, you in my arms. No, you don't know, fuck a pillow too. I do.
It was a mattress.
It was a fucking
mattress.
Oh, no,
he's a gentleman.
Yeah. I never fucked my pillow.
Simple Plan, dude. I love that. And then
after high school, the band that.
God, I hope they're all like 45 and still doing that song.
Oh, God.
There's an arrest.
And then the band that I was in after high school was the first band that I really, really started touring with. And
this was your first taste of
right. I was in magazines and things, you know, things like that. And I mean, that was Gatsby's American Dream.
That's the name of a band.
Yeah.
That's a very mature name for a band.
Yeah. A couple of dudes were I mean, heavy book readers.
That was also the first band you weren't the front man.
I have that song. How the fuck do I have that song?
Right.
Save it for the end. God. Jesus Christ. I've got a simple plan. Enough with this fucking band.
This is an actual band.
Yeah, this is, I mean, you can't get any more this type of sound than this band.
Right.
You're the drum.
Your dick can't get any limper than listening to this shit. But that's the thing. Like, you didn't know how to use your dick when you were this age.
No.
So it was like, that music made sense.
Yeah. I mean, I was throwing my dick up against a pillow. I mean, mattress.
Oh, boy.
Mattress. It was a mattress.
Oops-a-daisy.
Oops-a-daisy.
So Gatsby's was the first band you weren't the frontman in.
Sound
was, but there was the first band that the sound was like, also for me as, you know, a friend and supporter, I'm like, oh shit, this is, all right, he's going to do this shit.
Right. And I mean, it was, you know, the first time with Gatsby, it was like we were on tour 9.5 months out of the year, and that's just like how it was. And it was just continuous. And
is that cool to go from not doing that to just doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what else the fuck I was gonna do. Like, I remember like in high school they would always say, you know, like, hey, you know, you don't have to know what you want to do. you know, post high school and stuff. But, you know, like I was saying, I always felt like music was the thing I was going to do. So once we started traveling and stuff, it was like, okay, yeah, like.
Now, when you're touring with that band, right. And I'm assuming that's like the van tour?
Yeah, we're in the 12-passenger van. You have like a big double-axle trailer.
Do you know like where you're playing, or do you just drive to the city and say, like, let's find a gig?
Yeah, at first it was like, you know, we were doing all the booking ourselves. So you would find yourself in some real tough spots, you know?
Okay.
Basically, just be in that van and trailer for 9.5 months out of the year.
The smells.
Oh yes, it's brutal. It's brutal.
Yeah. Well, because you don't know where you're staying. It's like, are we getting a hotel? Do we have money for a hotel?
Right. And
what
again,
at
first it was like, we didn't have a booking agent, so we weren't. You know, the shows were just kind of like, oh, I've been talking to this guy online, and even like MySpace was new. Like we were touring too, where we didn't have like there was no GPS, there was no like MapQuest was still a ways a few months away when we first started touring.
Wow.
So we just had addresses.
And maps.
And maps.
Oh, jeez.
You know, and a phone number, you know.
Wow.
A guy who knew the area. Or,
just keep calling him.
Yeah, and you just
wait, is it next to the subway?
Right.
Or where is it?
And so that was like how things started. And then, again, like we were talking about earlier, where it was like you hoped and prayed to God that someone at the show was like, hey, I got a couch you can, or you know, a floor you guys can, because otherwise it was just like you were in the van. There was a time we were in, outside Baton Rouge, and this was early in the touring experience, and it was so hot and humid in the van because we just had to pull over and sleep because we didn't, you know, money was tight at that time.
Yeah.
And I just thought I was a fucking genius, so I was just like, dudes, you guys are idiots sleeping in this van. I'm putting my sleeping bag and pillow on the top of the van, and I slept outside on top of the van.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great, and it was cool, but then I woke up just covered in mosquito bites.
Oh,
like the most gnarliest fucking like swamp bugs you've ever fucking seen in your life.
Thank you, Baton Rouge.
Yeah. So,
and at that point, too, you're just like, oh, God, this is, I really got to love this.
At first, for sure. And then, as you know, money starts to come in, or basically, you know, like when we started getting like $180 a week from the band, outside of per diems and like food budget, when you showed up to the venue, it was like, holy fuck,
$180 a week,
right? It was just like, oh, dudes,
hey guys, like, I'm getting a motel room, with HBO,
right? And when
and
you can start,
ESPN,
it's like,
soap.
Dude, when you can start getting a hotel every night, that's like, okay, you know, we're getting somewhere, which is really fucking cool.
And so that, sorry. I just choked on some of my chicken teriyaki.
I mean, and
spilling berry refresher on my shirt, choking to death on chicken teriyaki.
Don't have sex with a woman tonight. You're gonna fuck that up. You're just on a roll.
I'm 0-for-2,
and it's just it's not gonna go well. It's not gonna go well.
What was the experience? What was the moment in that whole experience of the touring, or just the experience of Gatsby, where you were just like, "All right, now." How do I take this up another notch? You know, because it's like for us, like for stand up, it's like once you get like a late night set, or you finally go from feature to headliner,
right.
Then you're like,
yeah,
all right, now awesome. But like, I obviously love this because I put in a lot of work to get to this point. So how am I? What do I do within myself to you know,
right.
progress?
And when Gatsby stopped touring, it come to that point where we were all just like totally burnt out.
9.5 months on the road.
It's crazy. And I was just like, everything kept becoming more mundane, you know, like it was really, really, really exciting. And then all of a sudden it was like, get me home, you know, like, which is a really bad attitude to have when you're doing something that's really awesome.
But at the same time, you're burnt out.
Right.
You need that time to decompress.
Right. And so, the keyboardist in Gatsby at the time, Kyle and I, you know, we kind of bonded over, mid-60s like psychedelic pop stuff like the Beatles, Zombies, but Kyle and I, you know, bonded over those records and smoking weed and
back to weed,
right and you know, Kyle was younger, so he was part of the youth, and so it was natural for us to to bond over the pot.
You want to come over and play music together,
and do the doobies. Hey, young guy, you want to do the doobies and play some tunes?
We will be those guys soon. I mean, Kirk's a father, and you're who knows how many years away from being around other son's friends, to where you're just like, hey, like, what's going to be the slang? Because I feel like doing the doobie, we won't say that, but it's like maybe pot has acquired different, maybe, you know, you can't say marijuana because it's just too perfect. It's like calling.
That's what scientists
are
going
to say. It's
like
telling a girl,
say,
I'd
now.
Love to see your vagina. It's too right. professional. It's too medical.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a bunch of fucking weird names for weed, but.
Maybe you got to make up your own just to deflect whatever school slang is actually existing.
Right, jazz. The kids like jazz. Well, one that nobody ever picks up on is when I'm like, "Hey, man, you know I can get some like jazz tobacco." You're like, what the
jazz
fuck?
Tobacco?
I was like, "What the fuck?
Jazz
like,
tobacco?
Weed, man? Oh,
yeah. You know, man, the Green Harmony, yeah. Kermit's Blue Balls.
What?"
Yeah,
pretty solid.
Well, and for me, like I'm in Washington, so it's legal, which isn't even you know. So,
but we were saying how gray the line is still up there, right? They're just like,
yeah, only for people who are trying to do like yeah, all those laws are morphing and changing as we like literally kind of as we speak, like in terms of
the cops are like, hey, you can't smoke that out there, and they're like, yeah, I can. They're like, oh. I mean,
right? Because like,
can you?
Here's a perfect example. It's like
carry on.
It's technically for the Seattle Police Department. It's the lowest marijuana offense is like the lowest priority.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they also have, if you're smoking in public, they have to give you a warning and tell you to kind of like move along.
Yeah.
Before a ticket is distributed, so it's just like, yeah, there's those laws, but you know, even getting there right now, and you know, everybody's using Colorado and Washington as like, how is this gonna work?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. And guess what? They haven't blown up yet.
Right, right.
So you're fine.
I just read a statistic. There was like $63 million in tax revenue from marijuana went to Colorado, you know, schools.
Yeah,
and it's just like Jesus. So yeah, so like, just I mean for. For being up there and having a kid, it's just like it's just weird because like there's vending machines and shit on you know like that sell weed, which is like that's crazy.
So I'm gonna go get. So I mean that's how they make a killing though, because then you get your weed and then it's like, but and then there's a Pop-Tart machine right next door.
Dude, oh totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
We have Adam's attention.
Scooby's back.
Yeah, it is just like. I mean, yeah, all these things are connected. I mean, you know, we just talk about, obviously, because we're in music and you guys are in comedy, so it's just like, we smoke it and it's funny and but, people, you know, people kind of forget, like, oh, yeah, you can make fucking clothes out of this shit.
Yeah.
You make gasoline. You know, Sun Chips years ago, for like 6 months, they had that bag, and basically when you're done with your Sun Chips, you just... Throw the Sun Chip bag just on the ground.
Oh yeah, because
like,
it
plant matter.
I thought it was you strike an old woman with the bag, just, like, based on the noise you made.
Yeah, and she turns into a frog, and it's like,
nice.
But
if that's not a stony thought, yeah, you're an old woman with a bag of Sun Chips, she turns into a frog.
Man. Welcome back to memory loss.
Yeah, yeah, which then you can lick and get a psychedelic buzz. So,
man. Wow,
pretty cool.
You call it.
So needless to say, Sun Chips did that, and then people were just like, yeah, there's a lot of people licking toads and a lot of old missing old ladies.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Even the creators of Pokemon was like, that's on too much drugs for me. I can't.
Creator of Pokemon.
I can't keep up with that. Let's go back to sober thoughts like a Pikachu.
which oddly enough is what Brad screams when he comes.
Right. Sure. You don't?
Pika!
Oh, it's more like Pika-Poo. You know, it's more like that. The ladies tend to like it. You know?
Oh, the ladies.
Puts them in a nice
The ladies. That's what Brad calls his stuffed animals.
Well, yeah. I mean, I gave them all female names. I'm not a monster. Sure.
I'm not a monster, yeah. Says the guy who just confirmed the fucking of stuffed animals.
Well, they can't say no, really.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Too soon.
Yeah, they don't have feelings.
Sleep well with your Kermit doll tonight there, Adam.
It's a piggy bank. All right, so then you get to KK and His Weathered Underground.
Right, and then we Gatsby disbands, and Kyle and I come home and start up KK, and, you know, basically Kyle and I just had this idea. And
when you told me the name of the band, you were like, I'm in this band, KK, and I was like waiting for you to say another K and then just be like, dude,
right.
I should maybe chime in on this.
Right, I got, oh, dude, totally.
KK, no!
What's wrong with Blind Melon 2?
Yeah.
Or Blind Melons?
I got to meet Jay Dilla, who's one
Def
of
Def Cantaloupes.
Right. Briefly, I got to meet... Jay Dilla is one of my favorite hip hop producers and musicians. I got to meet his mom. He's deceased now, but I got to meet his mom, and she was like, "Oh, we were at this, you know, kind of like a retreat thing. KK was performing, and I was like, oh, I got to meet this woman. She's, you know, son, yada yada." And I shook her hand, and she was like, "Oh, you doing the music here tonight?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." She's like, "What's the name of the band?" And I said, "KK and His Weathered Underground." And she just went,
"It's like, why don't you pick something better, like Blind Melon?" Yeah.
But you know,
that band is like 12 deep.
Yeah. So basically, it was you know, Kyle and I came home, and then there was a dude who we were all kind of friends with in town named Phil Peterson, and he was came from a really unbelievably talented family of string players. And Kyle and I knew we wanted to do, you know, we had these songs written on acoustic guitars, and we knew we wanted to like fill them out the way that like Sgt. Pepper's was filled out with, you know, strings and horns and just really, really big.
A cacophony of sound.
Yeah, a cacophony.
Yes. Okay. Wow. That's a, and, that's the biggest word I know.
That's a great word.
I can't
Salinger's,
do anything else.
Sixth novel.
Fuck off with the Salinger! Make me feel dumb.
We had this huge ensemble with strings and horns, and I guess that was the way that we kind of stepped things up from, you know.
And now how many people are in Real Dawn?
And then, now doing Real Dawn Music, it started kind of, I was actually, I'd been coming down to L.A., pretty often for a couple of years doing like writing sessions with people. At one point when KK was kind of, a lot of those guys got offers to go play in huge other touring bands who are still doing the thing right now. And so basically my manager was like, "Hey, you know, come down to LA, like try out this songwriting thing for other people and working with producers and writing top 40 stuff and top line melodies and lyrics and for people." And so I did that for a little while. And just that working in that system is I mean, you look at like a Beyonce's record, you know, she got all that flack from some dude. He's like, "Oh, there's like 20, 50 people involved in that record." Right. And it's like, well, yeah, she represents a giant fucking corporation.
Right.
You know, it's not Beck who has this whole thing where he lived on Vashon Island in Washington for years, just in a tent. You know?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like, no, she's a fucking product. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not even
not
a human
to, not to sell. Yeah, not to sell Beyonce the human. Like, yeah, Beyonce, what are you, just a fucking commodity? You know, but you know what I mean. Like,
listen, man, you talk bad about Beyonce, I'm gonna come across this table right
watch
now.
Your mouth.
Watch your mouth. You know, just working in that system wasn't really for me, but I learned so much from a lot of those producers that I went home and was like, I'm gonna start a project that's basically me producing stuff here at home in my small studio, and then I'll have these horn guys. So basically it's me, a live horn section, and then I have a DJ who runs my tracks and does cuts and scratches over the top.
It's so dope. And we will be playing a track at the end of this podcast, so don't not listen all the way through. And
a triple negative. Good job there, English. Don't not listen to this end of the podcast.
It's been a long day, man. I got back from this tour on Sunday, and I spilled
cranberry sparkler on my shirt.
Dude, I'm having a rough go, man. It's something unpredictable, but in the end, you're right.
Oh, God. I hope you... But yes, we will be playing a Real Dawn track at the end.
The first time I saw it live, too, at the Hotel Cafe.
So stay tuned, podcast listeners.
Hey, shut up. When I came to see you at the Hotel Cafe, I was like, oh, yeah, man. Because, again, like, seeing the progression in each different group, and it was like, oh, this is, like, the best set. Like, just so you and so different and so, like, a collection of just all your tastes and, like, skills that you've, like, developed. And, obviously, I'm a big fan of, like, a dope horn section.
Right.
And it's like such a good mix of your vocals and the horns and the DJ and the beats you have. It's like,
it goes back to my ska calling.
Yeah, and your hip hop calling. You're the one who introduced me to fucking Talib Kweli and Common and he really, you know, and not like I've carried on the tradition well because I still fucking blast Goo Goo Dolls at 10 a.m. or shower to fucking Hall & Oates.
We had a good buddy, and Adam would give rides to like a bunch of us because you were the first to drive in our class. And there was one kid that we always picked up, and he just hated the fact that Adam would pick him up and just crank Billy Ocean, and you'd fling open the passenger door for him to get in with like, "Get out of my head,
get out of my dreams, and into my car." And then I'd turn down the volume and go, "Get into my car, Jaeger."
And you'd just be like, "Fuck."
Yeah, because he hated Billy Ocean.
And that kid turned out to be Ryan Cabrera.
Nice.
You're welcome, Cabrera. You're welcome for influencing your dreams.
such a fucking threat.
For people, and I listened to some tracks today, and like you say, it's got the ska influences, and yeah, you obviously do, but I wouldn't categorize you as a ska
band.
No,
totally. And it's funny because just the people that have known me for years and years and years just know that I was in a ska band when I was in junior high.
Right. So it's like, oh, it's still
a ska
band.
Of course, Kirk, because you got the fucking horns.
It's yeah, like, yeah. It's like, no, it's not. It's not exactly ska. If you had to compare it to anything popular out there, just so our listeners can know,
yeah,
like,
totally.
Like kind of what they're getting into.
I always describe it as like a groove heavy. You know, it's. I definitely think of it as like R&B and soul music, but it's mm-hmm. just kind of more of a modern. You know, there's more synthesizers and yeah. stuff versus like those classic instruments that were on those old soul recordings. So mm-hmm. yeah, I just you know yeah, I just tell people it's more like a take on modern R&B and soul. I guess you know
it's good stuff.
Thanks, man.
It's Seattle born, which is dope because it's like you know you I'm sure you got influenced by not just all music, but like growing up in a place where music
oh,
is
yeah.
like considered. Not the birthplace of music, but like, hey man, there's been a lot of.
It's one of the meccas, certainly.
Yeah, yeah.
Right there with Nashville and New
right.
York
and
Chicago.
Yeah, like all those examples, like have their thing. Like Chicago had
Oprah.
Know, Chicago
obviously.
Had Chicago had Oprah.
But you lost her to fucking. I don't know. She's on her own planet somewhere right now.
She's got her own channel. She's
yeah,
on that,
that's right.
She's on that
that's
channel.
Well, that's how it starts. Your own channel?
I spilled cranberry sparkling on my shirt. Lay off, guys.
Is that your impression of me?
No. We've already established that my impression of you is like, totally, 100%, I spilled cranberry sparkling on my shirt, and I don't know what to do right now.
Wait, did I just turn into fucking Buddy from Charles in Charge?
Yes, yeah, you did.
Hey, Charles, can I come over tonight? My car won't start. Jeez, Charles.
Yeah.
Although, actually, yours was a little bit more like this, and a little bit like, guys, I spilled cranberry juice in my shirt,
I'm really
1,000%.
I do say that. That's why we established from a few days ago.
Andrew Santino's
podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that if I had a doll, you'd pull the string, and it would go, 1,000%. Totally.
Yeah, dude.
For sure, man.
All right, I'm so pumped that this is coming out.
Yeah, man.
Because people are gonna fucking super love it. And when Brad and I get our own TV show soon, you will be
damn right.
Your music will be featured and helping us provide the soundtrack. So where can people get it right now?
Right now, the first two singles that we released are available through like digital distributors and stuff, iTunes, Amazon, all that,
yep.
any of those streaming SoundCloud. Services.
And if yeah. you go on Amazon and to do your shopping, make sure you click the Amazon banner at aboutlastnightpodcast.com.
Jesus.
Click over, do your shopping as normal, and then we get a cut of whatever you buy. So help out your podcast without spending any extra money. Sorry.
Where are you? Where are you on Twitter?
At The Real Dawn Music.
Right. And this is there a website?
Realdonmusic.com.
Hell yeah.
There
yeah.
you go. So go to it, look up the songs, buy the songs, and dude, thank you so much for coming by. I always love these podcasts because Adam will call me up, send me up sometimes. I got this person coming on that
I booked the podcast, and Brad yeah. never knows who is coming on.
and that's true.
I'm like, hey, it's Dana Carvey today. Actually, Brad, that was Brad.
Hey.
Brad booked
Dana
Carvey.
Don't take my one.
The one guy.
The one guy I got.
The only thing you've contributed
yes,
to this
exactly.
show.
No. And the candle holders. Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a fucking enough like candles and alcohol over here that you guys could fuck me good tonight. I mean, it's like,
well, I mean,
I was going to mention that when we started, but
why,
since we're wrapping up.
Why do you think we're such good friends with Bob Saget? We
yeah,
fucked him. We totally
just,
fucked Saget.
Jesus.
Let's keep these candles going.
This podcast was really filthy. We talked about, I mean, whether it's between you fucking stuffed animals or a pillow, me.
Mattress! It's right. a mattress!
You know, I don't know. It's been a lot of.
Let's go back and listen to the tape of this conversation.
What? Oh, yeah, the Chris Hansen
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, the Chris Hansen
See, I already forgot. I'm having a rough go.
Anyway, Adam needs to go take an Adderall.
The Real
Don
Music.
Go do that.
.com.
RealDonMusic.com.
Real Don, The Real Don on Twitter, and buy the album and support good music, and especially Seattle music. Because you know what, man? Pearl Jam is a thing of the past. I'll tell you what's a thing of the future. The Real Don. That doesn't have to be how we end.
No, I was going to leave it on the Don LaFontaine voice. Why not?
Yeah.
I love you, man. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah. This was fantastic. So, yeah. Fuck yeah.
I hope you have the time of your life.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.